This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, June 22nd. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Another attempt to stall sites. Sites grapples with a downsized water right. CEQA overhaul qualifies for ballot, and the USDA pressed to protect wine grapes. A landowner protesting the site's reservoir water right application is accusing Water Commissioner Kimberly Gallagher of a conflict of interest, arguing her property interests could benefit from the commission's funding decisions. Ben King, who manages T&M King Farms in the Colusa Basin, calling for Gallagher to recuse herself from sites-related deliberations and votes. King pointed out that Gallagher is a landowner in Reclamation District 108, which is a site's reservoir storage partner, and manages Gallagher Farming Erdman Farms within the district. He argued the district would benefit from State Water Board funding and future contracts tied to project operations. Yet the commission's counsel rejected the allegation last week after reviewing King's comments, determining that Gallagher's property ownership does not create a conflict under state laws. Later in the meeting, the commission unanimously approved an additional $268.9 million in conditional funding for Sites Reservoir, raising the project's potential water storage investment program award to $1.363 billion. The money was redirected from other stalled project proposals and combined with climate bond funding. It will help the project authority offset inflation and pay for added public benefits, including a new supply of up to 200,000 acre feet for use during declared drought emergencies. Governor Gavin Newsom called the increase part of the state's effort to expand storage for a hotter, drier future. It brings the project's total potential state investment to about $1.36 billion. Jerry Brown, who directs the Sites Project Authority, is warning that the State Water Board's draft water right decision could sharply reduce the project's performance. Brown's told the Water Commission the restrictions could reduce Sites' water supply up to 15%. With broader Bay Delta conditions, the reduction could reach 50%. He cautioned that would probably lead us to a point of being infeasible. The board plans to issue a revised draft next month. Cal Chambers' proposal to overhaul California's environmental review process is qualified for the November ballot, setting up a fight over the future of the California Environmental Quality Act. The Building an Affordable California Act would impose one-year deadlines for agencies to complete environmental reviews of essential projects. That would encompass housing, water infrastructure, clean energy, transportation, hospitals, schools, broadband, and wildfire prevention. Court challenges would face accelerated timelines. Cal Chamber President and CEO Jennifer Barrera said the measure would cut delays that raise housing, water, and energy costs. The campaign is backed by more than 125 organizations, including agricultural, water, business, and housing groups. Environmental advocates argue the initiative's broad definition of essential projects could fast-track dams, highways, and sprawling development while limiting public input and consideration of alternatives. The Planning and Conservation League said it would weaken CEQA projects and shift the law's emphasis toward project approval. Also qualifying is the California Billionaire Tax Act. The measure would impose a one-time tax of up to 5% on wealth exceeding $1 billion, directing 90% of proceeds to health care and 10% to food assistance or education. California lawmakers are asking Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins for $32.2 million to help combat an invasive pest threatening that state's multi-billion dollar wine and table grape industries. California Democrat Senators Adam Schiff and Alex Padilla, leading a bipartisan group of U.S. lawmakers, including Republican Representative David Valadao, and asking Rollins to immediately release the funds from the USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation. The funds would support emergency efforts, including an ongoing trapping and survey program for the next 3 years, the lawmakers said. U.S. talks to end the war with Iran advanced over the weekend, even as uncertainty hung over the status of trade flows through the Strait of Hormuz. The Iranian military late Saturday said the strait had been officially closed due to, quote, ongoing attacks against Lebanon by Israel. Nevertheless, Vice President J.V. Vance told reporters yesterday that great progress had been made so far in talks in Switzerland with Iranian officials. Delegations from Pakistan and Qatar are mediating the negotiations at a Swiss resort near Lake Lucerne. The expected full reopening of the strait has led to falling prices for key commodities like petroleum oil and fertilizer. U.S. Central Command said commercial ship traffic increased on Saturday through the critical Mideast trade route. 55 merchant vessels moved heavy cargo loads, including more than 17 million barrels of oil to global markets. Iran, though, is insisting that all hostilities cease, including any attacks by Israel on Lebanon. Iran will stop any negotiation if the Israeli regime does not withdraw from Lebanon, the Revolutionary Guards-backed Tasman News Agency said yesterday. Even in the best-case scenario for resuming key cargoes through the Strait of Hormuz, it will take time for disrupted energy and fertilizer markets to recover. At the word of Corey Rosenbusch, president and CEO of the Fertilizer Institute. While the strait is open or reopening, it's really just an early step, Rosenbusch said during a news briefing on Friday. Supply chains won't automatically just be flipped back on like a switch. Restoring some of these trade flows and repositioning supply chains will take some time. Rosenbusch stressed 3 points based on talks with the industry and farmers. The current planting season largely finished in the Northern Hemisphere, including the U.S. Even with the strait closed, some fertilizer in the last few weeks has dropped to pre-war values. TFI estimates 3 to 4 million tons of urea, a key nitrogen fertilizer, are stuck behind the strait. It's not clear how much of the urea has already been sold. You can't necessarily assume that it's going to be a new supply coming to the market, especially with some of the dependence of India from that region, Rosenbusch said. The extent of damage to facilities in the region isn't known. It could take months for some plants to come back online, especially for oil and natural gas. That's important because sulfur, a key raw material for phosphate fertilizer, a major byproduct of oil refineries, the lack of access to sulfur is causing the phosphate plants around the world to curb production. Roughly 40% of the world's traded export urea passes through the Strait of Hormuz, and about half of sulfur supplies, according to TFI. Here's today's final word. There's enough skepticism here that this is going to be a complex couple of months. That Water Commissioner Daniel Curtin warning that uncertainty over the future of sites could intensify as local water providers confront increasing costs and a diminished water right, driving them to seek out, quote, better ways to invest than a major reservoir project. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, June 22nd. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Allen.